Conquerors and the conquered rarely seem to get along. The same can be said of liberators and the liberated, as historian Antony Beaver writes this week in the New York Times. But 2,000 years ago, the ancient superpower, Rome, conquered much of the known world and presided over one of history's most successful empires. Rome's reach extended from Britain across Europe to Africa and the Middle East, including Iraq. Millions came under Roman rule, an enormous population, wildly diverse in geography and custom, all united under one imperial standard. How did the Roman emperors and their legions do it? Elaine Vandam is Weekend Edition's Classics commentator, and she joins us from the studios of the CBC in Toronto. Elaine, good to speak to you.
Yes, indeed, Linda.
All right. How did they treat the conquered areas, the principalities and communities that were very far from Rome? When the legions passed through there, how were the people there treated?
Well, the conquering legions would be withdrawn as soon as order was established. They sent out their senior magistrates, who were normally experienced both in politics and warfare, and in fact in jurisdiction as well. They'd send out a senior magistrate to be governor, a fairly experienced military commander. There would be a small garrison force, perhaps up to a legion, say 5,000 men, and the governor would control the province with absolute power, limited only by the advice he received from the resident Romans and Italians, the local trading communities, for instance.
So an imported ruler accompanied by peacekeepers. Were the Romans ever able, or were they inclined to sort of reach out to local people to govern?
That came slowly. It took them, I think, 200 years, really, to realize that they couldn't do this with unsalaried governors, without professional administrators. And with the Principate, when Augustus founded the Principate, he started a system of having longer terms for governors. Take poor old Pontius Pilate. He stayed administering Judea for more than 10 years. I think it would be another probably half century before they really invited the aristocrats and the experienced magistrates from the provinces to a share in government. There would be some, of course, tactful consultations, perhaps not as much as there should have been.
I suppose it must have made a difference in how interested Rome was in running a particular place if that place was valuable.
Absolutely. For instance, with Sicily, they acquired access to a very large supply of the grain they needed to feed their populous capital city. And in fact, Sicily paid some of its taxes in grain. They didn't, of course, being Italians, have any great need for oil. They produced olive oil enough for their various needs. They did badly need bullion. There were no silver mines to speak of in Italy, and if they were to pay their soldiers and to use coinage for government payment, they badly needed silver. That's why I think, despite the difficulty of governing Spain, the Romans were quite keen to take over control of Spain, and the same applies to Macedonia.
But what do you think? We started from the premise that conquerors and the conquered rarely get along. In the end, the people who were conquered by Rome, how did they fare?
Well, there certainly was a great deal of financial exploitation of the provinces by Roman business corporations, particularly the Roman societies of tax contractors. We have a number of stories from prosecutors in court cases of outrageous acts of cruelty and greed by bad governors. On the whole, the mere fact of there being order would enable most people to pursue their lives with a little bit more ease.
When I look back at Rome, just as a tourist traveling in Europe, you see the aqueducts, you see the buildings, you see the roads that the Romans built, and it looks as though they, to some extent, improved the areas where they were. Was that true, or did they just use those roads to drain everything out of all of the countries where they were powerful?
They naturally used the roads for speed of communication and particularly for speed of military logistics. For instance, they went along the tops of hills because that way a Roman legion going from point A to point B would be above any threats from enemies. However, you make me think of The Life of Brian, a Monty Python movie in which a bunch of conspirators in what became Israel are saying, what did the Romans ever give us? Roads? baths? Oh, yes, baths.
Elaine, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Linda. Goodbye.
Elaine Vantham is Professor Emerita of Classics at Princeton University, but of course she is most proud of the fact that she's Weekend Edition's Classics commentator.